Oh, yeah, it's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Big parties, big events. Always better at Chickies and Pete's. Book your next one at chickiesandpetes.com. Joining us, as he does every Friday at 3, is Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot's call-ins are brought to you by Robin Ford. Online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, how are you feeling?
You know, if you're not going to do Creed at 5:30 anymore, you could just do that song every day.
The Elliot song?
Not bad. Yeah.
We could do Take On Me, the real one.
Yeah. No. Or you could do Creed's biggest song, of course.
All right, shut up. Can you please shut up?
Well, you're kind of cooking with that.
Can you please shut up?
Where did we hear the other day about Higher was played over One Last Breath?
At Citizens Bank Park.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, Elliot, I want to start with this. The Twitter question, and I'll give you the results, and we'll talk about the topic at hand. The Twitter question is brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Experience the Marks difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you want the Eagles to build a dome with their new stadium? Now, 68.3% say no. As you posted yesterday, the Eagles sent out a note to their fans yesterday, talking about the potential for either upgrades to Lincoln Financial Field or potentially a new stadium. And one of the questions was, would they prefer an open-air stadium, a canopy, which is like what the Rams have, or a dome? You've talked about this for a while. I remember you asking Jeffrey Lurie about it at the Super Bowl, the potential for a dome. Could you explain to everybody why the Eagles would prefer a dome, aside from the football aspect of it?
Yeah, so removing whether fans want a dome, don't want a dome, the reason they would build a dome is so that they can have events when the weather is not great. And most importantly, probably, the Super Bowl. They're not going to get the Super Bowl in Philadelphia unless they have a dome. So there's the Super Bowl, there is, you know, World Cup games. I know they have them now next year, but there's already talks of potentially only playing those games in stadiums with domes because of how hot it is in the summer. So when you have a dome on your stadium, you can do more things, you have more events, and you make more money. So if they're going to spend however much this dome will cost, which I'm sure is multiple billions, they're not going to do it and then only have things in it 4 or 5 months out of the year. So the incentive for the dome financially is to host big events.
What I wonder about, truly, is why not just build a retractable dome? I think, Elliot, and we'll debate whether football is better in a dome or not in a dome. Regardless, it does.
There's no debate.
I mean, I think it's obviously better without a dome. Stop. We'll get there. Regardless of what you think of that, it does seem like generally in this area, people prefer not a dome. I just don't know what the negative is to building a retractable dome so you can have those events and still have outdoor football.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something they could potentially do. On the survey that they sent out to fans, I think there was 5 different options. The canopy, you said it's where the Ram thing is, and I do believe that's correct, but there's also 2 different types now of domes that allow cold air in and, sun. So it's not a true dome like we think of. I do think in a certain way, dome, the term is a little outdated because now these stadiums are so high tech that, you can let weather in. But regardless.
That's also Los Angeles, too. What type of bad weather are they going to get?
Right, that's a good point as well. Yeah,
I thought the Bears were building some version of a stadium like that where it's not a completely shut dome. I could be wrong about that, but the benefit, they could absolutely build a dome that has a roof so that people can feel cold during a game like they really want to.
Well, I think the other thing for me is this is the reason I want outdoor football instead of a dome is I've watched football in a dome. And by the way, all of my college home games that I watched were in a dome.
You all make Syracuse dome, guy. How many
dome.
Games you go to?
Well, I went to every game.
McNabb was thriving.
Yeah, it was the McNabb era. It was a good era of football. But I did also my freshman year, I went to USC, so I watched the Coliseum as well. I saw both. But even the Super Bowl being in the dome, like watching football in a dome is like watching sports in a mall. It's just like not having the weather. I think for every sport, it sterilizes the game in a way. I'm going to forget about the snow and forget about the rain. I like being outside. Like, I like the experience of being outside during the game, and I think it makes it feel more like sports. And I think when you're inside a dome, it feels like you're in a mall.
Yeah, so that's obviously a preference thing. Like, I don't think that, I've been to all the domes in the NFL, and I don't think it feels like you're playing in a mall. I would agree that there is an element in the new domes where they're so new. You know, it does feel like fancy, I guess. But I just think football is better inside. Like, this, the snow game in the playoffs was obviously awesome. And I agree, when those rare events happen, they are really cool. But I would just point to last year's Eagles team. When they played the Rams in a dome, they smoked them. When they played them in the snow, they almost lost and won the Super Bowl. The football is better when the players can be at their best. And so I will take a dome where the weather's not a factor, the players can be at their best. And by the way,
the football is better when you have a good football team. What the hell is a dome doing for the Falcons or the Cardinals or some of these other teams?
The Saints.
The Saints. Like, what is the dome doing for those teams?
Is it easier to play football when you're not playing it in the snow or when you are playing it in the snow?
That's an obvious answer, but my point.
That's what I'm saying, right.
I understand your point of what you're saying. I get that. But you're also looking at it because you're looking at it from the view of always being indoors. You're a writer. You're in the press box. So you don't necessarily have the same joy and experience of what it's like to sit out in the stands during those games watching the game. I mean, that's a reason why the fans who actually go to the games and sit out there in the stands vote mostly for not having a dome.
Right.
Because so, that's an experience they can appreciate. It's hard to appreciate that when you're sitting in the cozy confines of the press box all the time, nice and warm.
Yeah, so obviously my experience on game day is different, right? And again, it's a preference thing, right? It is. But
yes.
I also say, in terms of my experience, I've been to these domes that are there, and I would guess a lot of the majority of fans have not been to all of them, right? And so what I would say is, yes, if you prefer football outside, there's nothing that's going to change your opinion about that. It is what it is. But if you put a dome on the link or whatever the new stadium is, mm-hmm. it instantly becomes the hardest place to play in the NFL because of how loud it will be.
I don't think so.
It's true. The domes are so much louder than the outdoor stadiums. They're like 10 times as loud.
And Elliot, I'm going to say it again. Having a good football team brings that energy. So as it pertains to the Eagles, that's fine. Because we just assume they're going to – well, it does because bad teams that play in the dome, their home field doesn't mean anything. Because it's half field. So you need to have a good football team to put a full team, to put full fans in there to sell the stadium out.
The quality of the team, I think, is irrelevant in this conversation. Because we're talking about the quality of the game, right? Which if obviously
it's relevant when you're talking about the impact of the energy of the crowd. How are you going to tell me the quality of the team is irrelevant? If you don't have a good team out there, what type of energy do you think the fans are going to bring?
Whatever level of energy would be in that stadium, it is a higher level of energy, and it is louder when there is a roof on it. That's what I'm saying.
That's not the point I'm making. I even understand the business angle of it. I understand why Jeffrey Lurie would want it.
Yeah, we all get it.
Yeah, we get that. But to me, the compromise, because this region, and to me, this fan base, and maybe I'll be proven to be wrong, but I feel initially we don't want a dome on the stadium. But to compromise, I'm okay with a retractable roof if there is the idea that for every Eagles home game, the roof will be open.
By the way, the other thing I want to say, we keep talking about snow. I remember two games in the snow in the last 15 years. But what I also remember is a lot of October and November games when it's 50 degrees or 42 degrees, and it's fun to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the weather is not a factor for all these things. And I really do think a lot of people, the stories they tell about being at the snow game is a lot different than the story they tell not being at a snow game. You know, I just think you lose a lot.
So, look, they're two different experiences, right? So I agree. The experience you're going to get in a dome when the roof is closed is not going to be the same you're going to get outside. But I don't think that means all of a sudden Eagles football is not going to be enjoyable for people, that the experience at the stadium is going to, you know.
Well, they'll be fine. They'll be fine, whatever it is.
Yes.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the reality is they're going to put some type of roof on this thing. Now, in terms of an open roof.
We just don't want a full dome. Understand that.
Sure. You guys.
That's the point. I don't want a full dome.
Yeah.
So when you give me the option of retractable roof, that's what I'm going to select. because I know they're going to, I know why they want to put the dome on, but understand why fans don't want it on and make it a retractable roof and leave the home games open. Don't tell me, but that way everybody gets what they want. Eagles fans at home games get to have an open stadium, and then you can close the damn roof the rest of the year when you want to have other events there. What do you mean, but? What do you have?
I just think there's part of this that people are afraid of change. Like, it's going to change.
Yes, because we don't want a dome. Yes.
Because people don't know how awesome the dome is.
They're not awesome. Shut up.
Dude, this fan base, hold on. This fan base goes all around the country to watch the Eagles.
So shout out fans of Philly.
Whenever they play in a dome, they know what it's like to be in a dome as a fan, Elliot.
And it's awesome. I would love to hear from fans that have been to dome.
Well, check this out.
I would love to hear from them.
Let me tell you, I played in Atlanta in a dome for 2 years. I'd rather be in the Link.
There it is.
Yeah, but the Atlanta Dome,
blouses.
First of all, how many years ago was that Atlanta Dome? The domes are way nicer now than they were back then.
It's a dome.
Oh,
now we're going to talk about
it.
Of course it'll be nicer. It's more modern. We're just talking about the dome.
Right, but I'm saying.
You're trying to make it about any. You're making it about things that the fans don't really care about as much.
I don't think they would care about it until they experienced it, is my point. Like, the Link is not a great stadium, let's be honest. It's a fine stadium, it gets the job done. There's no awesome quality about the Link.
What would make it. Well, give me a great stadium then, and why it's great.
I mean, people aren't going to want to hear this, but the Cowboys Stadium is unbelievable.
Oh, man, what have they done down there? Why is it so great? Because they got a jumbotron in the middle of the field? Why? Why is it so great?
That's exactly why.
What advantage does it give the Cowboys, though? What advantage does it give the Cowboys?
Well, the Eagles get smoked basically every time they go down there. And part of the reason.
Sounds like you love the Cowboys.
No, I'm just. But to the point we were discussing, you're right.
Has anybody said to you in your travels, the toughest place to go play is in Dallas?
Yes.
Oh, hell no. You ain't never heard that.
Oh, actually, one of them works at the station, and I know he's not Mr. Popular with you guys right now, but James Seltzer went to the Dallas game, I think it was 2 years ago.
I mean as a player.
Oh, well, the players definitely prefer domes, if I had to guess. No player wants to play in weather.
Except you're listening to a player. I guarantee you, Richie, there's two other players that played that would tell you they would rather not play in the dome. So you got to look around for players to find that.
Okay, talking about players on the Eagles, Devontae Smith doesn't like playing in weather.
Okay, we understand that wide receivers don't like playing outside in the cold. We get all of that. Here's what I asked you, Elliot. What players are out there is talking about the Cowboys' home field is somewhere that's terrifying to go play? It isn't intimidating. There's nothing about being in that dome intimidating. Nothing.
Steven, I don't know.
As a matter of fact, it might be too distracting. And maybe that's why their home fans can't be intimidating, because they got Wi-Fi, they got jumbotrons, you got waiters coming to you with filet mignon and lobster and all of this. Maybe that's why it's not an intimidating place.
Well, first of all, getting filet mignon and lobster during a football game sounds awesome. So I don't know why we're pushing back on the idea of finer things.
It's too nice. Yeah, it's rather soft down there.
Yes.
But the Cowboys Stadium is one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL now. I go there every year. It's the truth. But it's also true for this.
It's one of the loudest stadiums. They got one of the worst fan bases down there. How many people are down there? I don't get it.
The point I'm making is that.
It's great for the owners because it's great for the owners because they can make more money by hosting more events there. I get it. That's the business angle of it. The football angle of it. Stop it. Because you're trying to sell me something that really. You think the players are pushing for domes?
Yes, I do.
I haven't heard this.
I'm sure that.
Most football players like playing outside.
All right, I'll start to ask players at training.
You should.
I will. I'll start to ask them. I'd be curious to see what they have to say.
Yeah, insider.
The last thing I'll say about Cowboys Stadium. Just real quick, the last thing I'd say about the Cowboys Stadium is, you're right? The Cowboys don't have the best fans in the world. But the reality is, it's still a really hard place to play because it's a dome. So if you put great fans in a dome, it would instantly become the hardest.
Green Bay, that cold team from Green Bay went down there and smacked them in the first round. It was so hard to win down there with Jordan Love. How about San Francisco that went down there and smacked? No, we're talking about how hard it is to play down there.
It is hard to play down there. I've seen the Eagles go down there every year and struggle.
That's one. Well, maybe that's just the Eagles.
Maybe. I don't know. I just know when they go down to Dallas, they lose most of the time.
Elliot, can I ask you two questions about training camp?
Yeah, and then one about the Phillies.
No.
No.
Because
no.
I heard Jack say something I disagree with. But we
okay, all right. All right, I'll give you your opportunity. The first thing is Jalen Carter, I believe, has not practiced the first 2 days. Do we know what is wrong with Jalen Carter and what his prognosis is?
So it's a shoulder injury. They, you know, the sense I get being down there is they are not worried about it. What I'll say, having covered a lot of training camp injuries, is normally I think I'm pretty good at sensing out when they're actually worried and they're just saying they're not. I don't get the sense they're actually worried about Jalen Carter. Now, they practice tomorrow. We'll see if he's out there. I think ultimately he will be out there in week one. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't, and that's kind of all that matters, but I don't get the sense it's something they're very worried about.
And then before your Phillies point, because I haven't heard his name the first 2 days, is Kevin Petullo. Now, I know you're watching everything. Have you seen anything of note from Petullo on the sidelines, just his way, his, you know, those sorts of things? What have you seen from Petullo?
The one thing that did stick out to me about Petullo is at yesterday's practice, at the beginning of every practice, the quarterbacks do a pretty mundane drill where they just fake hand it off to the running back, then they throw the ball 5 yards. It's basically like a warm-up thing. And I noticed that after every time Jalen did it, him and Kevin Petullo were talking. They were pointing. They were looking. Like, it just seems like they are very – they talk a lot during practice. And so since all offseason, when the talk – you know, the benefit of Petullo was their relationship, I do think I have seen that you can, at least in person through two practices, you can tell that they have a working relationship, right, and that they've been around each other for a while. So, that, you know, I don't think we can really tell a ton about Petullo, to be honest, but that would be the observation I would have.
Look like a little continuity, huh?
Yeah,
the chemistry
well, we'll
there.
If it works, but
I'm
yeah.
just saying that's what it looks like.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed. Sometimes right. it's not right. the best thing. But, yeah.
And then one other thing before your Phillies point, actually, is has J.J. Watt responded to your response about the training camp stats?
I haven't seen it. So okay. I mean, I like to think that means I convinced him he was wrong, but my guess is he probably just hasn't seen it. Yeah.
All right. So for the Phillies, what we've been talking about today is a message to John Middleton and the Phillies that we want everybody to go all in. We want them to go all in. We believe in this trade deadline. What you said you had heard Jack say something that raised your antenna. What was it?
Yeah, so first of all, Jack, one of the bigger baseball voices at the station. Like, I respect his opinion, but
one of
him. Yeah, one of, yeah.
Interesting.
I heard you say that Middleton would be robbing the players of a final chance. Let's be clear about something. The players themselves have blown their chance at multiple times. They lost to the Diamondbacks. They lost to the Mets, right? And they're the ones that are still pretty inconsistent this year. So while I get your point that he could reinforce a final stretch for this team, let's not act like Middleton hasn't done a ton over the past years to give these exact players you want to be remembered, like Victorino and all them. Like, they've had their shot, and they blew it. If I called in and said the Sixers should give Embiid one more chance, nobody would be like, yeah, do that, because why? Embiid has blown his chance. So, sure, if they want to go and make a trade, do it, but the worst decisions are made out of desperation, and it's pretty clear it would be a desperate move right now and not a smart one.
Yeah, it's fine.
Can I ask you, why is it desperate for the Phillies to do it, but it wouldn't be desperate for, like, the Mets or the Yankees or the Tigers or any of the other teams that have approximately the same wins as the Phillies?
So I'm not as familiar with their situations, but what I would say is the reason it's desperate for the Phillies is because they're an old team, and they're going to have to decide whether or not to double down on this group. So if they're going to trade a prospect that could legitimately help them for the next window, I don't think it's smart to do it when you don't know how Bryce is going to age. If you're going to re-sign Schwarber, I know Turner's been good this year, but, you know, 2 months ago he was one of the worst contracts. So that's the reason I view it as desperate, is because you're trying to help an older window as opposed to just trying to help a good team that you're going to have for a little bit.
Well, it is desperate because it's time to be desperate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No,
well,
but that's not when you make good decisions.
Well, were the Eagles desperate last year when they signed Saquon Barkley?
No.
Huh?
What do you mean?
They weren't desperate. The Eagles had one of the youngest rosters in the league last year when they signed Saquon. They went out and they signed him because it was a good thing for the team, but that was not here's our
well,
last
what if the Phillies make a trade that's a good thing for the team?
Was it desperate when the Eagles went and got traded for Terrell Owens?
Or AJ
Yeah, I
Brown?
Would say that was desperate. Yeah,
did
I would
it work,
say
did it
I
work
would say
out?
The TO thing. Well, it did work out. I agree. Yeah. But I'm not saying the move can't work out. But what I'm saying is, what are the chances they actually add somebody at the deadline that will you give up? I don't know how willing you are to trade Painter, but if you give up one of your top prospects, that it actually works out. Like, the chances are it won't, and you will have set the team back when they're already facing a window that's closing.
I guess my point would be the chances are always...
Yeah, you don't know that the chances you are, give it a chance.
The chances are always more than it's not going to work out than it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not a reason.
That's
I hear what you're saying.
General.
Yeah, but that's not a reason not to do it. All right. Elliot Sharpush, you can get the Go Birds podcast every single day. During training camp, it's elite after every practice. So is there going to be one tomorrow?
Absolutely. Tomorrow we practice at 10 a.m. We'll have a post-practice. Well, I'll have a post-practice pod right away.
All right.
Can I ask you one question, E?
Of course.
Well, I'm just saying, if you had your choice, which way would you have the stadium built?
I would have a dome placed on the stadium.
So you would deliberately, defy what the fans want, and would you wouldn't even compromise and do a retractable roof?
Spit in the face of your fan base.
You could talk me into a retractable roof. I'm just so positive fans will love it that I'm okay taking the hit initially because
Isn't that the best of both worlds, though?
Yeah, I'm saying if people really want to be cold during a game, I'll do a retractable roof. But I ultimately think people would love a new dome. Like, it would be an amazing experience people would enjoy.
There he is, right. Elliot Sharpush, man of the people. We appreciate you as always, Elliot. There he is. Coming up next, the other man of the people that we have on every Friday. He gives you your weekend forecast.
Somebody to cheer me up.
The legendary Tornado Shapiro is next. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Hey, fantasy football draft time is coming. Book your fantasy party at Chickies, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Summer Friday here at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big events and big parties always better at Chickies and Pete's. Book your next one at chickiesandpetes.com. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Which unit was better last year for the Eagles, the offense or the defense? Ike, what do you think the poll results on that are?
That's a good question. It's probably leaning towards the offense. It should be the defense.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, I don't know what the fans are voting.
With Super Bowl-itis?
I would vote defense.
Okay.
Yes.
It is 81.6% defense. So
okay, well, there you go.
Super Bowl-itis may not have spread as far as I thought.
Only on these airways.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Joining us, as he always does, 3:30 on Fridays for the weekend forecast, whether we want it or not, the official meteorologist of the afternoon show, Tornado Shapiro.
Hey, fella, the extreme heat is back. Take caution. Protect your family. Protect your jewels. Myself, I stack a few ice cubes in my boxers to combat the heat. Hello. Of course, I do that in the winter, too. The only way to keep my mind on my work. I would do it in a dome if we had one. Music, please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Here we go. Welcome to the Bronx, home of the most heralded franchise in all of sports, the damn Yankees. Class, prestige, neatly coiffed in midnight navy blue pinstripes. And I see they finally loosened up the dress code and dropped the strict rule on facial hair. You know, the girls' softball team that did the same thing over in Flatbush. Come on. Didn't work for them. They smashed the competition. They won the Fulton Fish Market Championship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're on a roll. I don't care how pretty the uniforms are. They're going to be just as hot tonight as they will. But the Phillies, both teams will be... Fitzen, it'll be a regular steam bath. I'll tell you, last time I had a good Fitz was down at the Kamak Baths on Walnut Street.
Oh, boy.
One time it was me, Yo-Yo, Ike. They call him Isaiah at the Spit. Don Zimmer, Joe Girardi, and Jorge Posada. Just a group of fellas sitting around talking Schwartz. They started a Yiddish yoga class, hot yoga. Called stretching and kvetching.
Okay, all right. We can move on from the Kamak Baths. What about New York?
Yeah, I had a good time up in the Apple. I was running with a weather gal out of WNYC. She was a full-figured gal. Talk about a set of Bronx bombers.
It's a cheap one.
It's a cheap one.
That's two of them, but they were both cheap.
All right.
One night, late night, you know, I snuck into Yankee Stadium right near the infield with three ball girls, and we were all finished. I stood up and I proudly proclaimed, today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Sunny tomorrow, more hot and sticky for the day game, a sweltering heat, and better than 50-50 chance of perspiration. He'll tell you who I miss. I miss the boss, Big George Steinbrenner. Yeah, I remember one night it was Big George was down here in town. We were at the old original bookbinders. It was myself, Ike, Big George, Omar Dahl, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, A.B. Lopes, Ricky Ricardo, Cliff Lee, and Cliff Lee's wife.
Wow.
We were all there to get the world-famous snapper soup. You know, Ike was shocked he could just walk up and buy snapper like that.
Okay. You know?
But it was legal back then. Sell snapper.
Okay.
You could get it in a can to go, too. You like it in the can, Spritzy?
Sure.
So we're sitting there. We got our snapper. All of a sudden, a busload of vulgar Yankee fans empties into bookbinders, cursing and demanding snapper soup. Cliff Lee and his wife were appalled at the big, fat, big Yankee fans at the restaurant screaming for snapper. Mrs. Lee nearly fell off a cliff. Appalled, the wifey insisted they leave. But ever so cool, Cliff Lee walked over and nonchalantly picked up the check as he left. I appreciate it, fella.
Oh, yeah, Cliff Lee, classy guy. I've heard, we've talked about you dabbling in real estate. Do you have anything in Manhattan or Soho, any of those areas?
I got a Soho in a spacious studio overlooking the park. Her pimp wants her out by next week.
Okay.
Someday a little less heat, high of 87. By the way, pro tip, if you're going to a Coldplay concert with someone who's not your wife, don't act shocked. Own your adultery. Smile and wave. Nobody will be the wiser. And never give up camera time. That was a dead giveaway. I would have grabbed the gal next to her, too. Grabbed the whole HR department.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Okay. Can we wrap it up?
Well, that's an issue.
97 continued hot and steamy. It's a wedgie alert. Hazardous conditions down below. Saturday high 91. Possible thunderstorms. Pick up a can of snapper on Amazon if you'd like.
Okay.
Sunday. High of 86. 50-50 chance of scattered. Thunderstorm. You heard that here first. It's the most accurate forecast in the U.S. of A. Tornado Shapiro.
There he is. Tornado Shapiro. A lot of cheap ones in there. A
lot of cheap ones.
He loved the snapper line.
Oh, yeah.
He loved it.
He has a couple that he keeps going back to.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Today's show, silly as it may be, has a very important message for Mr. John Middleton and the Phillies. Go for it. At the trade deadline.
Get it done. And not just one move, by the way.
No. Active at the trade deadline. We don't want to see the Yankees getting guys and the Dodgers getting guys and the Mets getting guys. We want to be one of the big boys. Act like it. Go win us a championship. 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield, you're on WIP.
Hi, Spike. What's up?
Nah. You're going to have to tell that guy to either get out of the bathroom or get off his speakerphone or whatever. It sounded bad. No, that guy's on pause. Hold on. Jerry's on pause. Joe in Delaware, you're on WIP. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? How's it going? Hey, I know that's against the rules. Yo, it's Mike.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We got five problems with the Philly, right? Dombrowski's the main one. But
why do you think Dombrowski's the problem?
because we're not changing nothing up. We've got the same core, right? Don't you think I'm right or no?
Well, don't you think the owner needs to tell him to do it?
I think the owner is telling him. I think the owner always said he's all in, but you might be right, Ike. You know, I went to go see Ike and Spike. Went to go see Ike and Spike last week at the Chicken and Peach. You guys weren't there.
No, we were on vacation.
Yeah, you saw Broads and Al.
Al, yeah. I got pictures with him. So.
That's great.
All right. I'm going to try Terrence again.
Hey, you guys hear me now?
Yeah, you sound better.
Hi, Spike. Chris, what's up, man?
What's up,
Terrence?
What's up, T?
Hey, man, absolutely. Hey, we have to make a move right now. I heard you guys talking about it. I'm tired of the Yankees making moves, the San Diego Padres, the Mets. These guys, you don't know, this might be their last hurrah, their last chance to make a championship run. This might be Harper's last term. We don't know how he's going to be looking in the next couple of years with his injuries he's been having. So Dombrowski, his whole term has been mediocre, if you ask me. He hasn't made these big moves at the deadline that we need to get this team over the hump. And to me, if you don't make this move right now, you're putting Harper's legacy on the line. Schwarber, I feel like Schwarber he's at his prime, but these guys are getting older. And to me, this team might be broken up next year, so you have to make a move right now to get this team where they want to go to get this World Series in here, man. They have to get a championship to secure these guys' legacy. They've been in the playoffs the last, 4 years, and they haven't nothing turned out. You have to make this move, Dombrowski. You did all that stuff with the Tigers, and you're pinned at this ultimate guy that makes these brilliant moves, but I haven't seen anything yet.
You know, I don't know, and he has definitely a good resume, but I don't know who has. He's got a better PR guy, Dave Dombrowski,
right.
Because I have never seen a general manager talked about in such glowing terms by baseball reporters as I hear from Dave. You know, Dave Dombrowski. Every time they say his name, it's like his middle name is not afraid to make a big move. They go, you know, Dave. You know, he's not afraid to make a big move. Dombrowski, every time they say his name. And I look back at last trade deadline.
Reputation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of.
So far, all he's been doing, he hasn't been putting his chips on the table. You got to push his chips in, man. I haven't seen him push his chips in. He's been holding his cards like he's scared. Like to me, it's giving cheap. It's giving cheap. Like, you don't want to spend the money. Like, you don't want to bring the people over that you need. The Yankees are doing it. The Yankees went to the championship last year when they got Jazz Chisholm, am I right?
Yeah, you know what it is, too? And by the way, they traded for Juan Soto last year, too, for what it's worth. I mean, that was in the offseason.
Yeah.
Well, it was before last year.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think, and thank you for the call, Terrence. I don't think it's them being cheap.
I don't think so either.
I think it's them being worried about.
Well, now I will say they are above the fourth.
It's kind of
they're
not, not necessarily cheap, but they certainly are.
Well, they're now
mining the
conscious.
Store.
Well,
yes.
With the David Robertson signing, they've entered into another tier of the luxury tax, so
yep.
where it's taxed a little bit more. So, like that, I think is a part of it. But still, it's three. It's like their payroll is still third in baseball.
Yeah.
But I think they're being a little cheap prospect wise.
Yes.
Like
yes.
giving that up. Now, I will say. How Dombrowski's talked about, I totally agree. It's like, oh, when he has a chance to go for it, he'll go for it. It's kind of like we started mocking Howie from that way too.
The Howie season,
where it was like Howie was like he's always aggressive. He's in on every deal. He never really made a big trade, but then he signed Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Then he did finally like he made that big move. Like, the Eagles were competitive; they're a very good team, but it was starting to be like, we get it. Howie's always, quote-unquote, in on things, according to the insiders. But he hadn't really done anything.
Well, what it makes me think sometimes is I think a lot of times Howie's name was used in those public rumors to drive up interest in players because he had that reputation. And what I'm afraid of two things with this. First is that Dombrowski's name and the Phillies' name is being used because everybody would perceive them as being desperate. So my first worry is we're hearing all these rumors about the Phillies being in on it and that it just falls flat next week. And the second thing is like, and we've said this before, I don't want to look back on this time and say we could have made move X and we could have made move Y. And I'm not going to do the thing where I say that no prospects are going to end up being good. But the truth is in baseball, more than almost any other sport, the hit rate on these guys is low. It just is. Like, when you look at the biggest prospects that most teams have, like, it doesn't seem like a lot of them turn out as great players, you know? Like, prospects are for two things. They are for, when you're building a franchise and you're building a team, they are for, you know, for bringing up and becoming those players. Once you're good, prospects are currency. They're currency because you can't just go buy players right. at the deadline. Right. You know, you have to buy them with something other than money. And it's prospects. I just don't want to look at this whole era and go, you know what? They never made a trade deadline move that was a needle mover.
Yep.
Never? You want to look back at a chance to win a World Series? And I understand in 22, right, they didn't know that was going to happen. But after 22 happens, you have to do it in one of those years. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it would be a shame to look back on
that. I mean, we all pretty much said it at the top of the show, but when you're talking about this core and giving them an opportunity to at least solidify their legacy, if this is the last run, meaning we don't know what you're going to do this offseason, and if you're not planning to bring back Kyle Schwarber or if you're not planning to bring back JT Realmuto, most of us think Ranger is probably gone,
yep.
then what are we doing? Like, why wouldn't you try to go win with these guys right now? That would even at least soften the blow if you lose two out of the three guys.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at least we know you tried in season to give them a chance to win it.
Well, and a lot of these guys they're talking about are for next year and the next year. We're talking about so many guys is like under team control, two more years,
yeah,
under
yeah,
team
right.
control, another year. These guys don't disappear for most of them.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. Suarez is the one who's expiring after
yes,
the year.
Yeah.
And Luis Robert, he has a $20 million team option, so that's probably getting declined.
Okay.
So, like, he could be like more of a rental piece, but also he could go off and you...
And you can just keep him.
And you can yeah. just keep him.
And by the way, I would sense that he would cost less, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting hot at the right time, which
right.
is the annoying
He
part.
Wants to get out of there.
Finally.
215-592-9494. A guy not scared to make a deal with you is John Ashdale, the car owner. A guy's built on deals. So when he goes to Hyundai and he says, I want to do something big, and they come up with Colonial Hyundai Fest, it's big. The goal, get you into Colonial with your car and your payment now, drive out with a brand new Hyundai, and your payment doesn't go up. Now, that's not work for you. That's work for Colonial. And they're working for you. They're going to give you up to 20% off any new Hyundai in stock. That's 10 grand. That helps keep that payment down. They're going to give you better financing than anyone else. That's as low as 0% on any of those new Hyundais. That helps your payment lower. You know, and by the way, there's over 300 Hyundais in stock. So whatever you want, they have it. And your trade. It's a piece of junk, maybe. But they're going to give you at least $6,500 guaranteed. Of course, every new Hyundai, every single one that drives off the lot, leaves with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. The Colonial Hyundai Fest. The fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, man, this man, Elliot, I don't know, ESP, that's my dog, but he had a little bit too much cowboy love.
He did.
He was yeah. praising the stadium, like, oh, it's so loud down there. Like, you know, like, what
he can't even focus on getting his tweets out. I mean, he's not writing articles.
But he yeah. beat the Eagles every time they come down here.
And then for a second, it's like the worm left him, and like, what? Like, he was like, the Eagles always get whooped down here. Like, what team you on? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I'm like, what is this dude doing? Also, I got to address Mr. Eskin.
What did I do now?
You off the bandwagon, dog. Because last year, you said, oh, I need to find a college team I'm going to root for. Yesterday, Justin and Glasgow was throwing a lot of shots, and you was quiet. So you off the bandwagon, partner.
Yeah. I thought you were going to be a Buckeye.
Yeah, but yeah, I haven't committed to that.
That ship sailed.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't want to watch college football.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. I just wanted to get an Ohio State hat.
Listen, first time for him to show up, he was quiet as a mouse. And Mr. I agree, Benedict Arnold there was agreeing with him. Yup.
Well, you know, I might be an LSU guy. They are wide receiver U.
Hold on. I gave Ohio State props for the wide receiver thing.
Yep.
I said it's a good argument.
What he said was, he tried to take a shot. He said, oh, when at the end of the game, they need to learn how to lose. They wanted to fight. First of all, y'all playing the flag in the middle of our field. Let's change this up.
Hold
let's
on.
See how would we feel if the Dallas Cowboys put a big star in the middle of that league. We both just let that sit?
No. No.
Okay. So Justin, don't do that. Don't do that. I know you're a Wolverine fan. Don't do that.
Hold on. That's the other thing, though. See, I don't have a dog in the race, man. I'm not gonna be sitting up here fighting for your Buckeyes.
But you do because we don't call them Spartan dogs no little brother. We don't try to stun y'all.
That's true.
We don't do that to y'all.
Well, you know I don't like Michigan, so yeah, I'm definitely with you on that.
And you're from Ohio, so you
you're right.
Hey,
yeah, you
grew up a Buckeyes.
Maybe I'll just be a USC guy.
I went to Syracuce.
I went to USC for 1 year.
I know that.
All I know is that
He said, "You know, I'm not Southern."
Yeah. Hey, but let me. I agree with what y'all are saying about the whole Philly situation. Like Dave Dombrowski, we need you to make a move. Like all that talking, I don't agree with Dak was saying because how he traded for AJ Brown and got Tom Redder. Don't put him in the same category. Don't do that. You know, but we need you to make a move, man. I don't care who it is. I wanted Naylor from the Diamondbacks. You know, I'm Ohio guy. I saw the way he played in Cleveland. We should have put him in the outfield. He played in the outfield some when he was in Cleveland. I need something. Don't sit on your hand, man, and try to say we tried. One thing that's going to make me mad is when they dabble names out there and then we don't make a move and then they say, you know what, well, we tried and the price was too high and all. I don't know about the price. All I know is we want championships. And if you want to get respected in the city of Philadelphia and want to continue to have, you know, you always get the support from the fans. What I'm saying is, like, if you want to be looked at, you know, in the have that aura, like that one team got, I need you to be competing for titles. And how we do that? Go make a move, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And especially when other teams are going to make moves. And I'm just sick of hearing that the cost was too high. If the cost is too high, somebody traded for him. You know what I mean? Like Garrett Crochet last year. Like, somebody traded for him. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. We don't want no Austin Hayes move. You damn right, we desperate. We desperate for a pennant. We desperate for a World Series. You damn right. We want one.
Yeah.
It's going on what? What, 20? What, 18 years? Whatever. I need one.
18.
17 years. Yep.
The 08 Phillies being 17 years ago is a tough one to wrap the mind around.
Am I supposed to tell y'all something I'm whining about?
Yeah,
it's National Wine and Cheese Day. So for next question today, we ask you what do you want? What do you want to whine about?
What I want to whine about? That means like what I want to cry about.
Yeah, I mean,
mostly Jalen. Yeah.
You really spend the whole first 2 minutes of the call whining.
Yeah, just whining all the time.
I'm about to cry. Listen, I'm really gonna give y'all. I'm tired of this whole Cam Newton thing. Listen, I'm.
Yeah, he was cooking. That's why.
I'm tired. Listen. Everybody, don't disrespect Cam Newton. Everybody want to disrespect my quarterback, take shots, throw stones at the glass house. But when we fight back, now we hating, we discrediting. You know, don't do that.
You know what? I thought Cam Newton made a good point. He was like, attack the message, not the messenger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he said what he said about Jalen, and everybody's comparing Cam's stats.
Right.
Like, that's not the point.
Did Cam Newton not jump on that football?
Yeah, and he admitted that. He doesn't run from that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That happened.
I mean, that's cool. All I'm saying is, but you when you're attacking somebody, you attacking hurt. You attacking what he do.
But he did. I don't think he attacked him.
Yeah.
To be, thank you for the call, Corey. I just don't think his was vicious. I really don't.
He got defensive when Ryan Clark and T.O.
Yes.
came at him.
Yeah.
Then he became a little bit more combative.
And Orlovsky.
Yeah, and Orlovsky. My initial issue with Cam was the whole having Jalen outside
top 10.
That was really my only issue with him.
I think Orlovsky is really good on TV, and I think he gives
he
good analysis.
Yep.
He's doing some real coward stuff right now. Because he doesn't want the heat. Because he feels one way about Jalen. And what he keeps doing is saying, I don't care what the rank is.
Right.
You have to go through him. Or I don't care what the rank is. He won a Super Bowl. It's like, that's okay. For sure. But you're also running from what you actually think as well. Like,
well, yeah, because he wasn't always a Jalen.
No, and I don't think he is now, to be honest with you. Like, I think you would probably have him 7-8, something like that. But what he's doing is, he's getting, you know, we said everybody falls in love with the thirst.
Yeah.
So if he can go online and say, well, I don't care what he's ranked.
Right.
You know, you got to beat him.
Right.
Ah, okay, man. It's not boxing. Yeah. You know, so. All right, 215.
Come on, Daddy-O.
215-592-9494. Coming up next, the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.